do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Thank you guys for sticking around. Today, my guest is Lazy and Smiley from the Pura Cultura podcast. They're a podcast based out of Minneapolis. And initially, when I hit these guys up, I thought they moved to LA and they're already like fucking vibing and living the LA lifestyle. But when they told me like, hey, man, we're actually in Minneapolis, it kind of for a second turned me off on the idea because I was like, how am I going to record these guys? Like, I have no equipment or no necessary experience to record a podcast off of Zoom or Skype. And instead of obviously like saying, okay, you know what, we'll forget about it, we're not doing the show, I decided to jump on and actually figure out how to record from Skype and Zoom. So I took the initiative to learn a new software, to learn a new interface, even if it's not that hard. But the fact is that I took the time to break those boundaries and not limit myself to the equipment and the distance that I had. So I'm glad I made this conversation happen with these guys. Really good conversation. I can't say more than enough about it. But just a quick thing, you know, again, as for the podcast Social Primate, the way it's moving on its pathway is like, I want to be able to challenge narratives, to be able to challenge opinions, whether they agree with what you believe or not. This is especially now in this environment that we have, it's easy for people to be like, hey, this guy says something stupid. This guy's a fucking racist. This guy's a blah, blah, blah. And I get it. When things are taken out of context, anything can sound like the horrible shit in the world. And I don't think that's fair to the people who are trying to push those narratives, who are trying to have these conversations, because whether you believe it or not, both sides, wherever you stand, they're both screaming, trying to be louder than each other. And that never helps. We have to find a way to listen. We have to find a way to empathize and sympathize, if possible, to these opinions and perspectives. Because at the end of the day, all of our opinions, all of our ideology is based on our environment, nature versus nurture, all that psychology stuff, which I'm sure at this point a lot of you have heard. So you got to remember, we all come from different spaces, different environments, and different experiences. So keep that in mind when you listen to these conversations. These conversations are mostly meant to provide another narrative, to provide an additional narrative that a lot of us don't necessarily like touching base on because we don't want to end up in the wrong side of the spectrum. But again, as humans, we're not just one or two dimensional. There's multiple dimensions that make us who we are. So if you get offended, so be it. All I'm asking is try to open up those blinds and, you know, let a little bit more light in, because there's more than one light source, whether you believe it or not, even if that last comment didn't make sense. But I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. Today's music is brought to you by Murder That with her song, Let It Be. You can find her on Spotify, YouTube. I'm sure she's also on Apple Music and all those cool other platforms. So check them out. Listen to her music. Great girl. Great music. Great vibes. What else can I say? Check it out. And then, like I said last time, as soon as performances start opening up, make sure to go check her out live. Without much further ado, enjoy.
These days, I feel like everybody fading. Like everybody angry, going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely. Told them you should let it be. Nah, nah, just set yourself free from the worry, from the cage of mental state. Fly away, little birdie, spread your wings. But who am I to speak? I'm just learning new techniques to practice what I preach. Getting caught up with the things. I don't like the same routines. I don't like being mean. I don't like what I see. And that's you treating me like I ain't shit. These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely, yeah. These days I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely. Told them you're ready when you're ready. I'll be ready really shortly. I'm just getting ready. Covering up with the makeup so they can't see your fuck ups. Let you take advantage of me. You cut my pretty wings, so I had to cut the strings. You get my my body chilly. You'll definitely miss me. Just know my
welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Today, we have some guests from across the country here. Believe it or not, we have here Lazy and Smiley from Pura Cultura Podcast. What's up, guys?
Yes, sir. What's up, bro? All the way from Minneapolis, man. What's up, California?
I know, man. Like, for a brief background for those people who are just tuning in, initially when I asked them out to be on the podcast here, in my head I was like, oh, these guys are LA-based. I know they were from Minneapolis, but oh, now they live the LA lifestyle. And then when I hit them up, I was like, hey, let's do this. Let's meet up. And they're like, dude, you know we're across the country. And I was
We could do a coffee shop or something like that. I was like, whoa. Like, we in Minneapolis, bro.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Man, well, again, thank you guys for taking the time. You guys are like three hours ahead of us. So, you know, it's the end of the day over there on your end. So,
yeah, it's 2 hours.
We're on what you call night crawlers, bro, or whatever you call that, bro.
Night owls, bro. So
night owls, yeah.
It's actually the perfect time, bro, to do this, bro.
Yeah. Dude, that's cool. Well, I'm right here at work, and like I just closed a fucking store, and I'm like, you know what? I need a space right now to record a fucking web chat, and I'm right here overtime without getting paid.
Hey, that's dedication, bro. You know, you make it happen. That's what separates the real ones from the ones that are not that, you know, in it.
Exactly. You know, and we're here, man, all three of us. But for those people who don't know what your show's about, can you guys give us a little bit of background about Pura Cultura is, what you guys are about for reals?
Pura Cultura, you know, it got started basically to be able to express our point of view of the culture from a Latino's point of view, from a Latino being either born and raised in the United States or brought as a young kid to the United States. And this is the culture. This is the only culture we know. Obviously, with our heritage and our roots and stuff, but there's no podcast or there's not a lot of programs that we were watching that we could identify ourselves with somebody that looked like us talking about the same things we wanted to talk about as far as music, entertainment, all the cheese, man, bro, you know, all the gossip that, you know, we mix our gossip, bro, with like mainstream and Latino mainstream. And also, you know, with a lot of the things that are going on today, you know, injustices and struggles in our communities, bro. So all that stuff just wrapped into one show, things that we have either personally experienced or we've seen happen, or as far as entertainment and music, it's shit that we actually enjoy listening to or watching ourselves.
Right. And you guys been doing this for what, like 2 years or something, right? Or a year and a half or something?
It's like a year and a half, bro. It's like a year and a half. But, you know, like Lazy said, bro, like we used to tune into a lot of different podcasts, a lot of different radio shows that have like talk shows, you could kind of say. And, you know, it's entertaining what they talk about, bro. It's about like pop culture and everything, bro. So it's entertaining and everything, bro. But they always seem to overlook the Latino struggles, the Latino issues, you could say. Yeah. So then we saw like there's a void there, bro. So we took it upon ourselves to fill that void, bro, you know, and make sure that we talk about the issues that are happening in our communities at the same time as making it entertaining, bro, because nobody likes to get lectured. Nobody likes to get preached to, bro. So we give people information at the same time as making it entertaining. And sometimes we drop some jewels in between the bullshit, bro. And just, you know, hopefully people enjoy the podcast as well as take some good information with them, man.
Yeah, it's a good balance. You know, like you said, you got to keep the people entertained, but at the same time, you have those hidden gems that when people hear them, they're like, oh shit, that's some truth.
It's like subliminal. We're hitting him with that subliminal shit, bro.
That's Smiley. Smiley's working with Lucifer, bro. Actually, Lucifer got killed off the show, bro. But that's a different story for a different time, bro.
that one thing that I like, it's like I guess it's a catchphrase in terms of what I've heard with you guys is pura cultura sin censura. Now. Yeah. And from my opinion, I personally think that's a great way to go about things because ultimately, you know, especially in the society, the world we live in right now, everybody's trying to be, you know, cautious. They want to be careful what they're going to say, what they're going to opinionize in and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, you're really just kind of
you're not really giving the other person or another perspective an option to kind of an opportunity to kind of not build, because I know there's bullshit thoughts out there and opinions, you know, but
yeah,
the fact is you're still trying to kind of see things from both sides and then build an idea off of it without, you know, being ignorant to whatever it is, it's on the other side.
Yeah.
Now, like, yeah, what was your guys's, what was the idea behind like trying to be like straight up raw?
Well, I mean, it sounds nice, all right? So to begin with, bro, pura cultura, sin censura, that just sounds dope, bro.
Yeah,
but it's like the rhyme shit.
You know, you gotta hit him with that catchy, I don't know, I don't want to call it a jingle because lazy be hating when I do that. But at the same time, though, bro, like on a serious note, you gotta hit people with the facts and the point of view that it's a real point of view, bro. Because if you're sugarcoating everything and you're just basically repeating everything that you're seeing on TV or the radio stations that you listen to that are getting told what to say, how to say it, what to leave out, if we don't give our full point of view, bro, and be completely honest about it, then people are going to see right through it, bro. They're going to know that we're not being 100% genuine with it, bro. Yeah. So sometimes, like, it's hard to be 100% straightforward on things because, you know, some things are a little bit of controversial.
Yeah.
But then, you know, some things need to be said, bro. So we always find ourselves the guys that need to say it the way that needs to be said, bro. That way people stop trying to hide the fact that there's certain things that exist that people are trying to hide or trying to ignore that exists, bro.
Right.
If that makes any sense, man.
And we come from these, areas, right? We come, you know, like we've mentioned in our podcast, we were born in Mexico. We've lived a whole undocumented experience. We've lived in a small, very small town in Oregon, which ended up being very racial at growing up in school and shit like that. Then growing up in the hood, you know, all our lives we've been getting put into places where we really either had a
fight or flight.
Fight or flight. If you didn't do it, you were going to get eaten up or you were going to just be, you know, getting picked on and bullied, you know? So with all that being said, another thing about Pura Cultura Sin Censura is like, we are those guys that are chilling at the carne asadas, that are chilling in the hood or chilling at the club or chilling at the bar. We're having these conversations already. You know what I mean? So it's dope that we have to bring these conversations and put them into light, because what I've started to learn throughout this process too, is that we take something extreme on one end and then the extreme on the other end, and we try to bring it in the middle and have a conversation about it. Because at the same time, there's a lot of people on our side that they're extremists, that they can start seeing like, okay, maybe I can understand that side now a little bit. And again, that side that's extreme, they're going to be like, okay, now I see where their side is coming from. And then you don't have these people just being like, fuck them, we don't want to hear them, you know, they can, you know, blah, 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 you know? So we're actually creating a conversation and creating a dialogue that two sides can have an understanding, you know, without, and then, you know, not to offend nobody, but leaving all that ignorance aside and then just listening to the conversation and taking the good and the bullshit that you still don't fuck with, just leave that in the middle, you know?
No, it's a great way to put it, because again, like for like I use as an example of the last episode I did. It's like when two people are arguing, one person's trying to scream over the other, and
I heard that,
you know, the message is lost between everything. Like, you're not really listening to one person's point or another because you're trying to speak louder than them. And you know, and especially in these situations now, when you try to speak about that opposite idea, even if you don't agree with it, like let's say I'm a 50, like 70% liberal and 30% maybe, I'm like, okay, I can see the Republican side of this. I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying in different issues, it's like you could agree with one part and then disagree with the other. You don't necessarily have to fall in one extremity and lose the whole communication, because then at the end of the day, there's no progress.
Exactly.
And then I believe like as a country right now, in the sense, we're at that position where nobody's trying to figure out what anybody wants, and it's just creating more division amongst everybody.
Right.
Right.
And
one thing that I've learned in my experience in my life right now is the community that I live in now, which you could call it suburban, you know, suburban life or whatever. And then in the area that I work, There's a lot of Republicans. There's a lot of white Caucasians, as we call them, bro. And if you don't learn how to have a dialogue or have a conversation or even a simple disagreement, you know, we're also trying to let people know that just because you don't agree with somebody, just because you're having a disagreement with somebody, a conversation with different opinions with somebody, it doesn't mean that you're arguing, you know, it doesn't mean that trigger has to turn up and be like, yo, you know what, if you ain't with us, then fuck you, you know, because a lot of the times that's how we learn growing up, you know, it's like, oh, for real? Oh, so you think this? So it's fuck my life? Oh, you know, no, it ain't like that. Yeah. You got to stop taking things so personal and build up that confidence. So when people come across somebody that they don't fully agree with, you can look at them dead in the eyes and dead in the face and hear their whole conversation out. And then you let him have yours. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be in this heated dialogue, this heated argument, because like you said, nobody wants to walk away the loser, right? Nobody wants to walk away like, oh, yep, he did school me and now I'm a newborn liberal. Nobody's ever going to walk away like that. We're going to walk away understanding different perspectives, understanding that somebody grew up and was raised completely different. And not even our own Latinos are on the same page. So how can we even expect other people that grew up in completely different environments, different languages, to view the world with our point of view? It's never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And wait, you were about to say something too, right, Smiley?
Yeah. One thing that I mentioned before, bro, is like a lot of people. One thing I like to put out there, bro, is that a lot of people disagree on small things, and then they cancel each other out. They start messing with certain people because like, oh, they don't want to abolish police, so screw them. We're all about abolish police. But it's like the main goal here is to you know, like immigration reform or get the kids out of the cages. Like that's the main goal, right? But they're letting all these little obstacles and hurdles along the way just separate everyone even more, that we never get the whole crowd, you know, to be on the same movement. Everyone starts falling off because they're like, oh no, they're cool with police, or they don't want to abolish immigration, or they're not down with Black Lives Matter, or they're not down with Brown Lives Matter. It's like we along the way people start breaking off because there's disagreements like that they can't seem to have a conversation about and come to like a level ground and just kind of come to an agreement. It's like we just like to have those conversations when people can see like it's okay to not be 100% on the same plan, but still the big picture is the most important picture, you know.
Yeah.
There's this one episode I always mention on The Simpsons. I gotta find which episode it was. it talks about how everyone's, you know, the whole I forgot what the Simpsons town is named or whatever, but they're all behind the Springfield. So they're all, a lot of them are behind a big movement, and then everyone's like, yeah, that's, you know, that's wrong and this and that, and then another issue comes up and then that group splits in half, and now it just shows how easy people can have a disagreement and then they just break off. So it's like people just need to learn how to just, you know, listen to another perspective and or another opinion and just kind of not be so emotional about things, man. I think one thing that I've learned doing this podcast, bro, I'm not so emotional as I used to be, bro. Like before, if someone had a conversation with me, like about Trump or I don't know, immigration, my energy would just be like at full high, bro, full level. Now I'm like,
go, bro. You want to go? You want to go, bro?
So now it's like I come in level headed, bro. And if we don't agree, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, that's how you view things. Well, I see this. Mm-hmm. I see it this way because of this and this and that. And, you know, one thing that I learned is, like, if people can get in your emotions, bro, if people can get you in your emotions or get you out of character, bro, then they got so much power over you, bro. And that's one thing that I really don't want anyone to have over me no more, bro, power just by saying a certain thing like, oh, I'm for Trump, you know, like, there's no reason why my energy should be like, oh, fuck you then. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that's I don't know. I think that's immature, bro. Even though I do feel like fuck Trump, but I'm not going to be all like ready to fight somebody, bro. You know, it's kind of like, all right, you know, give my opinion.
Stay over there, you know? Yeah. Stay over there.
You do you, man. I'm going to do me type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one of the things too. You know, it's like we, I think as people, as individuals and humans per se, you know, we're reactionary. Like we're going to react on something unless we know how to really take the time to really assess the information and say, okay, like, why does this make me feel this way? And understand, you know, the background information, like, why are you feeling like this? Why is that person saying that? And, you know, if you don't have those understanding and they're challenging your opinions, and again, we all have our own biases and we have our own opinions and outlooks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, it's all based on our environment, the way we were raised, the way we were nurtured, so on and so forth. So just limiting ourselves to what we believe is the truth, air quotes here, is, mm-hmm. you know, it limits what we're going to try to listen to from other people. Like we're going to immediately think they're wrong. And like you mentioned earlier, like you can't be preaching to people, like you can't be pushing things on people, because at the end of the day, that's going to make them feel attacked. It's going to make them, you know, put their defenses up, and then there's no progress in the form of communication that you're trying to have, you know.
No, and facts.
Like in terms, like I wanted to kind of switch the conversation real fast. You guys being from Minneapolis, you know, you guys are Latinos, Hispanics, you know, whatever you want to relate yourself. We're brown people here. brown in terms folks. Of that. Like, I would feel like the culture compared to LA and Minneapolis is it's completely different. Like, when I think Minneapolis, I think some, you know, like, where are you guys? Like, in the Midwest? Right in the Midwest? Yep. I would think the culture compared to here, I would say there's a lot more racism. But again, I don't live there. I've never been there. That's just based on what information has been brought up through media or through, like, fucking articles and stuff. Like, how do you guys been to LA before? Have you?
Yeah, I think it's very similar. You know, I think it's very similar. In my point of view, just by you bringing this, you know, thought to my head, it's only different levels of racism or different levels of class of people that have racism. Like when I go to Cali, I feel like you have your Hollywood Hills, your Orange County, your rich people races. Even though they're surrounded by Mexicans, I still feel, and it could be different, I still feel like they see the Latinos or raza as lower class or lower level people.
Mm-hmm.
Over here in Minnesota, if you work, bro, you're on the same level as a lot of these people, bro. So even if somebody says something to you, you're just like, fuck you, Bob, you're my neighbor, bro. Like, you ain't got shit better than me, bro. Yeah. Like, we both go to work in the mornings and we got the same, our houses are almost equally value and shit. But as far as racism, I think it's just different people having the racism. Over here, there's a lot of farmers, country people, and I don't know, do you call them hillbillies? Is that derogatory? I don't fucking know, bro. But there's a lot of those kind of people, bro. But it's still the same. I would say that there's still a lot of stereotypes, bias, and to some people actual that racism, but I just see it as different classes of people having that racism over here, but it's the same thing.
Damn. I mean, so that's what it brings up the fact, because like, I mean, obviously as people have known the last couple of weeks, there's been a bunch of protests because of, first of all, police brutality, Black Lives Matter, so on and so forth. But what it seemed like was the straw that broke the camel's back was George Floyd. And that happened, if I'm not mistaken, in Minneapolis, right? Or was it Missouri? Right. One of those.
No, yeah, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, right? St. Louis.
Yep.
So, I mean,
No.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
South side Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. There you go. So, yeah. I mean, okay. So, I confused my fucking U.S. locations. I'm all fucked up here.
Hey, bro. But, have you done your citizen test, bro?
Be quiet.
He's like, I was crying during that growing up undocumented episode, bros.
You made it, nah. But I mean, that being said, I mean, how far will that be? Minneapolis from what is it? Was it Missouri? Or
it's far. Right?
So I mean, it's
different states.
Different states for sure. I mean, with that being said, I mean, what is the culture there in terms of that? Like here in LA, you know, we're so far disconnected from that state, you know. In terms of what happens, you know, it happens here too, but obviously there's two different environments as well. You know, you will think that in the Midwest there's more forced use, because here LAPD, it's a mix of his like brown guys, black guys, white guys, and they're all beating the shit out of everybody. You know, over there, you with this, you know, you've seen it. There's a mix of white cops. There's also like some Asians sprinkled in there. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you know, my thing is like the culture. LA seems so chill. And when you hear about all these other Midwest states, you're like, oh shit, you don't want to go there.
Like, as far as like a racist state, bro. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oh yeah, the 40-minute game.
Okay. So like, as far as like a racist state, bro, I wouldn't consider Minneapolis a racist state, bro. Like, you could like literally take a flight here, get out there, you know, get out the airplane, catch a taxi into the city, bro. Nobody's gonna be looking you weird. Nobody's gonna be, you know, stereotyping you. Cops aren't gonna see you and right away be like, oh, bust a U-turn, grab the brown man. There's a lot of different ethnicities out here, bro. There's a lot of Mexicans. A lot of people don't believe us when we tell people there is a lot of Mexicans out here in Minnesota, bro. There's a lot of Somalian people. There's a lot of Asian people, Ethiopian people, bro. And obviously, like a lot of white and black people. But there's so many races, bro. That's one cool thing that I do like about Minneapolis, bro. There's so much ethnicities, bro. But I don't think that the racism is there, bro. I think that the racism is there, bro, but it's not, I don't think it's as bad as, I don't know, bro. As you hear, like, yeah, I know you picture Minnesota and the way you picture Minnesota is the way I picture Alabama, bro. It's like, you know, it's like we're just assuming shit from other states, bro. But it's like, I don't, it ain't like that, bro. I think, out here, bro, it has a lot to do with, you know, a lot of people don't like to hear it, bro, but appearance, bro. How you look and who you hang with, bro. Because back in the day when I used to be all choloed out, bro, I don't know if you've seen our pictures when we used to be straight up cholos, bro.
Yeah, I saw, yeah.
When we used to be like dressed like that and roll with the homies, like six homies in the car, bro, we would get pulled over, bro. And do I think that we look suspicious in the car? Hell yeah, we look suspicious, bro. Like,
rolling deep, yeah.
Why wouldn't six cholos in a four-door sedan look suspicious, bro? But
yeah,
you know, but other than that, bro, nowadays it's a lot more chill out here, bro. I mean, I know that this just recently happened with George Floyd, bro, but it surprised us, man. Or at least surprised me that something like that happened in our city, bro. Because as far as like racial tension, it's there here and there, bro, but it's not like heavy like that, bro.
Mm-hmm.
At least not that I know of.
Yeah. But
from how it was in the 90s to how it is now, there's so much more racist, bro. Just people are friends with everybody nowadays, bro. When we got here in the early 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, bro, everything was so segregated, bro. Everyone stuck with their own, bro. And you don't see that like that no more.
Yeah. But a little bit to add to that, Smiley, is like, yeah, it might not be full blown out street racial tensions, you know, but what I'm talking about is like just the regular folk, you know what I mean? Just the regular people. You see it in the lunchrooms at the job, bro, where there is no outrage towards George Floyd getting killed like that, bro. You know, like, I was getting so much outrage and negative, you know, people like red face, bro, just pissed off because they burned the police station down, bro. And not one person raise their voice at a uncomfortable decibel or whatever the fuck for the death of George Floyd. So that says a lot, bro. Their silence, a lot of the times their silence speaks louder than their words, bro, because they don't see that as something that affects their life or their community or their society at all, bro. So I think, like Smiley said, as far as like street shit, the racial things is not like that no more. But it's like the general people, and some people just don't give a fuck. Like George Floyd's death, they're not, to some people, they're probably pissed at it watching it at the news every day, bro. They're probably pissed at it because they got a curfew or they already put up a memorabilia or whatever you call that around that street. That whole street is a very popular street. Yeah. And right now it's completely shut down. Like that's like a memorial deal right now. Like we got people from all over the city, the state, even people outside of the state coming and paying homage or pay the respects. And it's on the news every day, bro. And you can just see the people at my job. I got comments today. I didn't get them, but I hear comments like, are we seriously gonna have to watch this bullshit again? You know, it's like they don't give a fuck, bro. They don't give a fuck. So there's different levels of racism. Or
And there's one more thing I want to add, bro. Like Lazy said, you know, we are no longer in the hood and everything. We are no longer, you know, living in that environment, bro. But one thing that stuck to me that Chris Rock said one time, bro, and it said, like, not all white people are racist, bro, and a lot of people ain't racist until you start doing better than them, bro. Like, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh, look at that hardworking immigrant family. Look, I mean, the man has three jobs and he's barely making it rent, you know. And it's like they have so much compassion for the hardworking parent. But as soon as you pull up in that Mercedes or the Beamer and you buy a house in one of their neighborhoods, now it's a problem because now you're kind of in their space, bro. So I always, for whatever reason, that always stuck to me, bro.
It's like that. It's like that movie where that slave owner says, you know, like that kid, little Billy. He says, I forget how it goes, but you know, he's basically saying like, don't treat him like a slave. Oh, so we're gonna treat him like a white folk? No. I didn't say that. You know that funny kid, little Billy at the store. Treat them like him, you know, like a just like a slow kid. Like, don't give him that much credit. Treat him like at a lower level.
Keep put him on your level. Yeah.
That's from that movie. That's from that movie Django.
Yeah, Django. Yeah. That's right. Django and Chain. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where
Big Daddy.
It gets weird because, I mean, right here in LA, you know, like we had the protests in downtown. And we also had some looting and breaking into places. And what surprised me was that, at least from where I work in like the Griffith. I don't for people who are listening, Griffith Park, like Los Feliz. It's kind of close to Hollywood. So the majority of the people here, they are Caucasian, and I have nothing against them. You know, I have nothing against anybody. You know, it's a matter of the way people approach the conversations. And like I was saying, like some of the coworkers, they were like, we're tired of this bullshit. Like it doesn't affect them enough for them to kind of try to empathize and sympathize to the situation of what's going on. And here, like, it's not, I wouldn't call it direct discrimination, but the way that they approach it. So for example, some lady came in and she was like, oh, like, what's your take on all this stuff? Like, it's getting out of hand, isn't it? And I was like, well, I mean, there's a reason for it, you know, like there's a reason and nobody's really looking into what the reason of why this is happening. All they really want to see is, oh, they should stop this. What the looting's happening, like the fucking rioting and the protesting's happening. Like, why is this happening? But they don't want to question themselves as to why. So I feel like a lot of people try to avoid having these uncomfortable conversations with themselves. And, you know, when they're put in the position where they have to kind of say something in front of somebody else, you can see their hesitation and like, you can see that they're not fully agreeing to what's going on. So for example, she came in and she's like, I don't know how to really feel about that. And then she kind of saw my facial expression again, and she went like, oh, no, but I'm all for Black Lives Matter. Like, I'm all for that. But I was like, okay. So, like, it kind of felt like she was hiding some, not racism, you know, but there was just something, like an underlying thing that she wasn't comfortable with that she tried to sugarcoat it with, like, oh, but I still support them. Okay. Like, I'm still about it, to try not to associate herself with the people who are saying, this is not right, in a sense. Right.
And bro, I always hate those uncomfortable moments, bro, when a complete stranger wants you to side with them so much that they're giving you all this information, and you're like, bro, I ain't with you, bro. And then it's like, sometimes it's so awkward because they've gone in so deep on their shit, bro, that I'm just like, I just act like I don't know what's going on, bro. I'm just like, oh, you know what? I really don't even pay attention to what's going on because. This person,
I don't even own a TV.
This person has spilled their whole feelings, and like, you know, I'm just like, you know, I am not gonna get into this with you, bro.
Nah, like me, bro. I let people know straight up, and for people approaching you like that, bro, it's a form of like it's a form of stereotyping, right? Because you know she didn't even let you say a word in, and she's like, oh shit, he's probably on that side. I better kind of backtrack a little bit and kind of fix this up. And that's the same way that people treat us with Donald Trump, bro. Like, even those fools that are Latinos that are pro-Trump, no white person is going to openly go up to them and be like, yeah, Trump 2020. No, because they don't see them as people that should or would be going for Trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I've never been approached by a white person that's like, yeah, man, you know, we're going to win again. It's weird that we're going to, it's never weird, bro. Right. It's, I think he's going to take it. You know, yeah. I'm like, man, fuck that. Cause they already know, like, without anything being said, they're thinking like, you shouldn't like him, or I understand why you wouldn't like him.
Yeah.
But he's not dissing us. So, hey, I fucks with him. You know, that's how they feel. Yeah. But and that's kind of the same.
And one more thing, bro, that, you know, the white Caucasians, like we call them, bro, they, you know, they see that some of us were not as dark, or our skin tone is probably some people's skin tone is on the lighter side, bro.
Yeah.
So to them, they think that they can get you to side with their point of view, or with their beliefs, you know. But as I think as Latinos, bro, no matter how
they light pull out the light, they pull out the Family Guy shade, the shade
thing. Oh yeah,
shade chart.
Oh my god, yeah, like
it's safe to have these conversations with you.
Yeah, it's safe to have. Yeah, exactly.
But it's like we can't forget, bro, that as Latinos, bro, no matter how light you are, bro, or how dark you are, we gotta speak our mind, bro. You know, like. No, like I had mentioned, bro, sometimes it is uncomfortable, bro, but, you know, we can't let people know exactly where we stand, bro, because some people that are on the lighter side, bro, and some people are so insecure with themselves, bro, that they'll side with the white man just because they don't want to feel
the popular. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll side with the popular belief or whatever, just because they don't want to feel dumb, or they don't want to feel like they're, you know, they're, I don't know, bro, for whatever reason, they just want to be. Agree with.
They don't want to outcast themselves, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they don't want to feel like they're like on the op. Yeah, well, like you said, like an outcast. Like you want to. Oh, I feel comfortable in this area. I'm gonna stay here because this is my surrounding.
Or this is my. You know? I just want to be safe. I don't want no drama. I don't want no altercation. I just want to just stay safe. Whatever you say, I'll agree with it. You know.
Yeah. So I have some. Oh, go for it.
No, that's why we want to let people know is like. Talk your shit. Like we grew up talking mad shit our whole lives, right? But when it comes to like financial and politics and society, then we're like all quiet and timid. Nah, keep the same energy, you know? Like you can't just say fuck this person or fuck that person and not have any factual information to back it up. You know what I mean? Because some people are going to actually get into a debate with you or get into a, just a conversation, and your whole conversation can be based on fuck him, he's racist, he's ignorant, he's dumb, you know, like no. You actually have to have some actual knowledge to have that kind of debate or conversation, you know. So that's we let people know, like talk your shit and be unapologetic. Like if you're going to talk it and if that's what you feel at the moment, say it, you know? And if you change your mind down the road in life, maybe you can apologize, bro. But if you say some shit and someone's like, oh my God, you hurt my feelings. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, it's like, speak your mind. Obviously don't go out there intentionally trying to hurt people's feelings, you know, just express yourself on what you need to say. And obviously don't be rude and don't be a dick, because nobody's going to take information from a culero, you know what I mean?
It's true. Yeah, no, if anything, you're gonna, you know, make them put the defense of like, no, fuck this guy, I'm not gonna listen to this. And I mean, it's talking about the example with that lady. I had another experience where I was working. You know, people were for like a week or two, they were printing out posters for George Floyd, like defund the police, so on and so forth. And you know, I work at some print shop doing design. And they're like, hey, can we put these up on the window? Can we showcase them? We're like, yeah, sure. And one of the examples of one of the posters that somebody printed, it said a copless future. And, you know, people who hear that, there's people going to be like, yeah, fuck the cops. We don't need them. My personal thought is, you know, I definitely agree on having them defunded. But I know for a fact we need cops. We're like, we're going to need cops sooner or later, you know. And
like, shit, Who do we call?
Not the fucking Ghostbusters. No? So it's like, you know,
you call the homies. Call the homies.
Smiley fucking lazy. And, you know, it's like, it gets weird because, you know, I get that. So a customer came in and they're like, hey, I'm sorry to, you know, tell you how to do things, but is it possible to take down that poster? I think it's going to send the wrong message. Wow. And I was just overhearing in the back.
The balls on some of these people, bro.
Yeah, and then they're like, and I was like, and I looked, and they're like, yeah, they were talking about the cop, copless future. And I was like, oh, it's gonna send the wrong message to our community, blah blah blah. Like, but I work for LAUSD, the school district. I'm a teacher. I'm gonna do this and that, and I'm all for Black Lives Matter. Like, all right, you're trying to justify the fact that you're telling us how to or what to showcase in a small business, when, and then you're coming in here and trying to make us take it down. So, you know, to avoid any conflict, the person who was talking to them, they took the poster down. And then after they left, I was like, did they make you take it down? And they're like, yeah, they were saying like this and that. And I was like, fuck that guy. Yeah. Like, you know, like for, maybe you don't agree with the message, but again, like who decides how we can protest or how we can voice our opinions in terms of what is going on? Sure. Yeah. Like maybe a copless future doesn't necessarily, again, bring the best example. So my workaround was like, I printed out a poster for myself that said defund the police, demilitarize the cops. So it's not saying a copless future, but it's saying, you know, we have to have some regulation in terms of how much money they're getting and, you know, how much fucking military equipment they're getting every year from the surplus. And it's like, okay, you know, find a limitation. So I put it up there hoping that he'll come back and say something. He didn't. At that point, I was going to stand my ground and be like, you know what? Yeah. Like what are the, if you don't see that as a pathway to like a specific goal that the society is trying to get to, like, what is your solution to it then? Like your solution can't just be, I don't agree with that. I don't feel comfortable with that thought. Just put it away so nobody else can see it. Like that's not bringing a conversation. That's not really bringing anybody into that fucking little box and trying to figure out what is going on or how we can fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. And before we get into that and deep into that, bro, because that is important to talk about. One thing I just want to point out is the fact of the example of privilege that this person has to be able to walk into an establishment that he does not own and tell people to take signs down from their place of business, bro. Like, you know how much privilege this person has grown up with, bro, to be able to to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, like... I could never walk into another person's business and be like, hey, you think you could take that Make America Great Again sign down? It's sending the wrong message to our community and to the immigrants in this community. And I don't think that's a good look for you guys.
Yeah.
Bro, like, you know what? They'll look at me like I'm fucking crazy, bro. So, so it's like,
they'd be like, who, what's an immigration's number?
ICE hotline.
We got one. We got one in here.
I'm gonna give them a free coffee. I'm gonna keep them here for a little bit.
We got a hot one over here. He's a little bit feisty, so bring some backup. But it's like the privilege that these people grow up with, bro, that they have the nerve to tell people stuff like that, bro. Like, that's why when Lady said, like, we got to hold our ground as far as we also got to be vocal about our opinion, bro. In no way am I telling people to go into people's business and try to tell them to take shit down. Like, nah, that ain't what's up. But it's like, as far as like, if you own a business and if you have like a Black Lives Matter sign or an Immigrant Lives Matter or a Free the Kids from the Cages sign, like, in no way should you ever let a stranger that is not paying your bills to tell you what to put up in your place of business.
Exactly.
Right? And because that's fucking crazy to me.
Right here in where I live, bro, like, you see motherfuckers driving around hanging big ass Confederate flags on their trucks, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not over there pulling up beside and being like, yo, Bobby, you know, Billy, can you take that flag off your truck? It's offending. I don't want my kids to see this shit. You know, like, nah, bro. I'm like, here goes some racist motherfuckers. You do you. But look at how crazy the NASCAR community got all fucking
buttered, bro. When they banned it.
Yeah, they're no longer going to approve of the Confederate flag to be used, bro. They're like, losing every shield that they can hide their racism behind now, bro. Like, there's people that want to act like they're not racist at all, but they will back up everything that still holds a meaning to racism and just hide behind it. You know what I mean? Oh, I support NASCAR, and I've been watching it with my dad since I was 7 years old, and they're just ruining the experience for me. No, motherfucker. That fucking flag does not determine how faster or if your car is going to go faster than the fucking Folger's car or the fucking Tide car or whatever the fuck, you know? It's like, you're just pissed off because all these Black Lives Matter movements, all these immigrants joining in the movement, they're creating so much change that it's actually touching your life one way or another, and they can't accept the fact that there's laws being changed now. There's like you said, defunding the police. Like, they'll act like, oh, they don't want no police. They know what it means, bro. And we gotta also, when we talk it, we gotta start explaining and having more facts, right? Like like you said, it's talking about demilitarizing the police. Like, they have all these high tech rubber guns that shoot people's fingers off, bro. I seen a fucking post on TV. This chick got her fingers blown off by a rubber bullet. This kid got shot in the forehead. I think he had to go through surgery, bro, because some of these things can be lethal, bro, you know? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, those things should not be held in these protests or whatever the fuck, you know? So, but my point was that we tend to, nos paramos, we hold ourselves back when we want to say, like, that offends me. But anybody on the other side, they don't hold back for shit. They'll wake up at 5 in the morning. If that's the time they need to catch you, and they'll wake up at 4 in the morning and make sure they catch you at the coffee shop and tell you, give you their peace of mind.
Listen,
you
know, here, like, buddy.
And like Smiley said, it's like they don't see the privilege, the fact that they have that privilege. Like, I can't say, like, I have a family member that's in the LAPD. He's a douchebag, you know. I love the guy, but he's a douchebag, you know. He upholds a system that doesn't necessarily work for what the purposes are. And, you know, so me saying, like, defund the police and all this shit, people were like, oh, you have family members who are in the LAPD. It's like, yeah, I'm like, but that doesn't matter. Like, maybe too much information. But my sister, she works for the security division of LAPD. And one of her things, before I head back to the whole privilege thing, was that when the protests started happening, I think the second night that they happened, they put a curfew. So everything closed down here at 8 p.m. In L.A. And they had fucking riot police. They had the fucking riot squads. I went to the protest the first night, right before they announced the curfew. And you can see the cops suiting up with the riot gear. Fucking,
they feel tough, man.
I've never seen so many fucking cops on a street block just holding the shit down, you know? So I was like, damn, like, this shit's getting real, man. And the whole thing with my sister was like, well, you know, if you don't, because she thinks she has, like, this authority or, like, power because she works with them, she goes and she says something like, oh, just in case you get arrested, just know that I'm not gonna bail you out because you're breaking the law. And it's like, I was like, and I told her straight up, I'm like, I don't need you to bail me out. Like, I'm not asking you, or if I did get caught, I'm not going to ask you to bail me out. You know, and what happened a week later is the ACLU here, they sued LAPD, the department, I think the city of LA, because those curfews were unconstitutional. They were basically limiting the fact of people culminating to protest. So I didn't get to tell her, but I was like, I wanted to say, like, how does it feel to try to uphold something that was illegal? You know, to see what she would say. But because that's the thing, like, just because somebody says something is legal doesn't necessarily mean make it the right thing. It's kind of with, like, similar to, like, the whole Nazi shit where, oh, we were just following orders. We were just killing all these people, gassing them because there were orders from above. So, like, okay, at what point do you take moral fucking what's it, what I'm looking for?
A stance, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's like, dude, like, that's not how shit works, you know? And it's like,
right.
You have to uphold morality in terms of what is being said, even if it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. So when this guy with the whole privilege stuff, I've had my experiences with cops too. Like, I've had maybe three, four experiences where they weren't the greatest and they were basically, you know, harassing me. Mm-hmm. So I can't stand up and say, oh, all good cops, all cops are, they're all good. There's no bad cops, because I've had my share of experiences. So when that guy came in, he's like, oh, I'm all for Black Lives Matter and all this stuff, and I don't think it should be a copless future. It's like, dude, you're not seen because the system works for you. If you need help, if you need something, the police are there for you because you live in an affluent neighborhood where they're going to respond to when they need it to. But me, I live in Southeast LA, fucking 20 minutes, 15 minutes away from Compton. It's like, you see all this shit going on and you see the cops are not there to help you. They're there to regulate, oh, your tail light's broken, all this other nonsense to get you to get in their cop car. And it's like, dude, the system's not working for people like me. It's working for people like you, which is why you have that privilege to say that's going to send the wrong message to the community. And it's like, that's not how it should work, man. Like,
right.
So he pissed me off. He left. And, you know, that was my whole thing. It's like, if this guy comes in, I'm going to hold my ground in terms of what I believe in. And like you said, have facts, have truth, because you don't want to go in there and be completely oblivious to what they're going to say. And you're just talking out of your ass.
And have some common sense, bro. You know, at the end of the day, like, common sense goes a long way, bro. A lot of people think that common sense isn't as important as it should be, bro, and everything should be book smart. But common sense actually goes a long way, bro. Like, one thing I tell people, bro, is, like, if people feel like cops or police can be abolished, then they've never lived in the hood, bro. You know, they've never lived in the hood where you literally need police in the hood, bro, because we've seen people, we've seen gangsters get shot and tell people to call the cops or the ambulance because their homeboys got shot. So it's like, who are you going to call when your homeboy gets shot when supposedly people want police abolished, bro? You know, like, you need somebody to keep some order in not just the hood, bro, but everywhere, bro, because there's people that are going to prey on the weak, bro. And, you know, that's just human nature, bro. Just like, In the safari, bro, you got the animals that prey on the weak, bro. It's gonna be the same thing in human nature, bro. Like, people that know that they can go into your house and take your shit, they're gonna do it, bro.
They're gonna do it, yeah.
So you need someone that can prevent that. There needs to be some type of fear, right? Of what not to do something wrong.
Yeah, like a consequence. Like, know that consequence. There's a consequence.
Exactly, exactly. You know, because, you know, I'm not even gonna say nothing, man. I'm about to incriminate myself, bro.
No, but check this out. Like, what you were saying on me, like, we've been in the same situations like you have, bro. We've got harassed, bro. There's been cops that have called us racial slurs, bro. Talk about you taco eating this or boom, 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 picking us up, dropping us off in the wrong side of town, or just picking us up and taking us who knows where the fuck and just dropping us off, bro, and letting us find our way home. So when we have people that, like, again, bro, I'm using a lot of work references because I deal with this shit almost every day.
Yeah.
People are like, you know, when they're talking about police, that's like talking about my friend. And you know, my friend was a good cop. And they're staining his name. I'm like, hold down, buddy. You know, I let him finish, bro.
Yeah,
I do this right here when I'm just like, and I just let him, I'm like, okay, you know, now let me explain to you. Nobody's talking about your friend, dude. You know, I ask him, have you ever been pulled over and asked if you were in a gang? No. Have you ever been pulled over and checked for tattoos and gangster, you know, tats or whatever? No. Okay. Have you ever got pulled over and got your car's been randomly searched for guns?
Yep.
No.
Drugs.
And I'm like, or drugs. I'm like, and he's like, no. I was like, I have. And he's like, oh. I'm like, that happens in the city every day, bro.
Yeah.
And that's never happened to you. Why do you think it hasn't happened to you? Oh, I don't know. And I'm like, well, now listen to me. Now listen, you know, check me out, you know? And then I give him that. And a lot of these people, bro, even if you're not going to convert them, bro, they're going to walk away knowing, like, yo, Lazy lived a completely different life. And it's okay for him to feel that way. Mm-hmm. I still don't feel that way, but it's okay for him to feel that way because them motherfuckers did him dirty, you know? So a lot of the times it's not about converting or making people start looking at life through your same eyes. It's about them walking around and being like, yeah, I'm all for this, but hey, I work with a guy that I understand why he would hate police because they fucked with him his whole adolescent life in the city. And then they can be like, oh, that, you know, and then that kind of shit spreads. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that goes both ways.
Right? And it's a because, subtle way. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because, like Lazy said, bro, in Minneapolis, bro, a lot of people might not think that there's a ghetto in Minneapolis. A lot of people might not think that Minneapolis is it's a small version of Chicago, bro. If that's the best way I can tell people, bro. And people know Chicago's crazy, bro. So let's just say Minneapolis is like little Chicago, bro. We've always had, me and Lazy, we started working at a young age, bro. So we always had, we actually had nice cars since we were like 18, 19 years old. You know, we've had like new cars and we put wheels on it, TVs in it and all that. So the cops would always pull us over, bro, and search our cars, bro. They'd pull us over and be like, hey, whose car is this? We're like, it's my car. Like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 18. Like, how is it that an 18-year-old has this car? I'm like, bro, I got a job. And then they're like, all right, well, if you can step out of the car, I'm gonna search it. No, yeah. And like I didn't know my rights, bro. So and at that point I didn't have papers, bro. So I was like, fuck it, bro. I gotta cooperate, right? So I let them search my car, bro. They do their thing, bro, make a mess in my car in the trunk. Of course they didn't find anything, bro. And they'll be pissed off, bro, because in reality, some people wanna see you lose weight. They wanna bust you for something, bro. So they would get pissed off, bro, when a young Mexican kid is in a nice car, is dressed nice, and then they got no choice but to let you go, bro. So it's like we've been stereotyped, because that's really what it is, bro. We've been stereotyped because let's just say out of ten times that I would get pulled over, bro, they would search my car 8, you know. But at the same time, when I say that, bro, that there's a lot of prejudice, a lot of stereotyping in the hood. I can say that I have met some okay cops, bro. Like I've been pulled over halfway buzzing sometimes, bro. I've been pulled over without a license sometimes. I've been pulled over with a suspended license, bro. And I've had cops being like, you know what, man, I'm gonna give you a break. Just go straight home. So it's like when they say not all cops are bad, I can agree with that, but at the same time I'm not okay in the fact that we should allow these many bad cops out there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because I mean, ultimately it is a system issue. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the system, you know, the systems are made to kind of uphold laws, but it's a different thing of having already as an essence and then having these people come in and trying to figure out what it really means. Then it gets really murky in terms of what is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like I've had my share of really bad cop experiences. And then there's cops that are, they're cool. They're cool with you. And they're like, all right, just fix it. You know, if I pull you over next time, then I'll give you a ticket. Yeah. And it's like, you see that there's people who are there to help the system. But if this is something that you tell somebody who's very left extremist, they'd be like, no, fuck that. Like, oh, you're supporting the cops. And it's like, no, dude, like you can be on both fucking, you can be in the middle. Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, people try to blame you because you're in the middle. And it's like, don't make me like the fucking bad guy here just because I don't fully agree with what you say. You know, there's aspects of things that could be tweaked and bettered because the system is corrupt. But at the same time, like, you can't.
Dos mujeres un camino, bro. Dos mujeres un camino. Yeah,
you can't lump everything into one either, because then, you're just being a dick. At the end of the day, you're also just being a dick. You know, and
that's one thing too, bro. We can't let ourselves, because that's the way I see it, bro. That's part of common sense. Like the way you're saying it right now, that's part of common sense, that we can't, it doesn't mean that you got to be full on this side or full on that side, bro. It's you got to find a common ground, bro.
Yeah.
And, we can't let ourselves be bullied or influenced into agreeing into whatever this, these people are saying, bro. It's no, bro, I don't agree with that, bro. I don't believe in that. So you're not going to make me believe that, bro. And I'm not going to be on your side on this, bro. Like, let's find a common ground on these things, bro. Like,
yeah. And then, yeah. You know? People are easy to to point fingers. Like, this whole protest of, I mentioned this in my last podcast. It's like, if people don't see that you're doing enough of something, you're going to be marked as a fucking, like, not an ally, you know? And it's like, that's not how it works. And, you know, I think with me personally, I didn't really push a lot of that stuff on the podcast. Like, I will share posts and all this stuff. But like I mentioned there, I had my reasons to it. And the part that bothered me more is when not just for my podcast, for any other platform that I guess is used for some sort of promotional content or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, why do the, like, for example, like, why do, I'm using this in my case, like, why do my listeners for the show, why do they have to feel like I need to justify their emotions, their thoughts? Like, I have to validate their opinions in order for them to feel like their opinions are legit. And it's like, there was this comedy special for Dave Chappelle a few weeks ago too. And he was saying the same thing. Is like, why do you need my validation to know that what you're doing is right? Like, I don't have to, you know, I don't have to tell you, oh, you're doing great. Like, I support this too, just like you do. Then we're on the same boat. I'm not saying I didn't support it, but the fact is, like, people need to feel validated by these platforms or these influencers or these people that they follow, that in order for them to feel like they're doing right, they need to hear the same thing from them.
And again, it's because I think they see us, you know, like, just like your listeners and like our listeners, they see each other. They see us as like, oh, these guys, we're alike. We think the same. Yeah. So I know they're going to feel like this on this issue. And then when they see no reaction out of you, then they're going to obviously feel the type of way, like, whoa, bro, like you dropped the ball, bro. You totally dropped the ball on that topic, bro. But it's like, but it's like, that's why I think sometimes, bro, if you decide not to talk on something, that's definitely your right, bro. Just like us, bro, we don't go hard on certain things. If we're not 100% on board, bro, we won't go hard for it, but we will give an explanation of why we are not going hard on it, or why we are going to just talk about it for a little bit and then move on, bro. I think people deserve that, you know, like, hey, we feel like this and that, but, you know, we're going to keep it moving and go on to the next. So that's the way I feel.
You're also never going to satisfy everybody, bro. Like, you can't be like, yo, I'm sorry to y'all because I didn't do that. And then you guys over there, you know, I'm sorry for that part over there. You know, it's just like, we can't do that either, bro, because then we're using too much of our good energy into things that are not adding value to our platform, to the community, or to the culture, period, and to trying to say sorry to everybody. Yeah. Excuse me. And that's why I say, bro, like, you gotta be, if you feel it, obviously, don't talk out of your ass. I'm not talking to you, just in general. And just talk it with your heart. And if you feel it, bro, say it. And there's no reason why you should have to apologize to nobody, bro. Because trust me, if you heard somebody else's full conversations, bro, they probably have to apologize to you too, bro. But we're not going to be out here asking for apologies. You know what I mean? It's just like, yo, that's why on Friday nights, for the most part, we open up a Instagram Live and we have conversations with everybody. And we bounce ideas, bounce perspectives. Mm-hmm. That's our little area, or, you know, little deal that we do. So it's like, even if we don't all think or feel the same way, how do you feel? Okay, now I understand how or why you feel like that. And then boom, 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 we'll have different people. They'll hear our point of view. And then everybody feels good, bro, because they just need to get that thing off their chest. They need to get that thing off their mind. Right. And like, yo, we're heard. And at the end of the day, we're still part of the same culture. We're still part of the same community. And we're still on the same team, bro. Like, there's times, bro, where we don't cut people off. You know, if they're extreme on this point or they're doing this thing over there, we might have to give ourselves a little bit of a distance. But it's like at the end of the whole thing, we're still going to be there at that finish line because we were still all fighting for the same cause. And then we're going to be there at the end goal together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you say, you guys have these IG lives, and, you know, even outside IG lives, let's say you do something else different, it's like, you're still, at the end of the day, you're hearing their opinions, you're hearing my opinions, and, you know, at the end of the day, you decide whether you want to take what was said to heart, if you want to switch your perspectives. And which is, at least for me, doing this, you know, podcasting for the last year and a half, 2 years, it's challenged my own biases. Like, I can easily say, like, at some point in my life, maybe 5, 7, 8 years ago, I was a little paranoid if I saw, like, a group of African American guys. You know, that's just my honest. It was me. You know,
you should be okay to say that, bro. You should be completely fine to speak your truth.
Yeah, you know, and I don't try to make it sound in a bad way. You know, at some point in my life too, you know, as time progressed, but you know, the thing is,
no, people, but even the same thing, like, let's say you're walking down the street and you see six cholos, you're still going to feel some type of way, right?
Exactly. Because, yeah, you know unfortunately, I mean? There's stereotypes that have been inserted into my brain as a youth. But again, my experiences, my life choices, my paths have put me in front of people with different backgrounds, different experiences that I've learned more, you know. And for example, this podcast, they've challenged my biases, they've challenged my point of views, and I've taken it into becoming a better person, you know. And what a lot of people don't think is that if you're racist or you say something stupid, oh, you're labeled as that person, as that, you know, for the rest of your fucking time. Like, they're gonna dox you, you're this fucking hater. But that's not how humans are. You know, we're going to keep changing, you know, and as long as we're getting put, you know, we're allowing in ourselves individually to allow these new ideas to come in, then we start challenging those ideas, and then we can start opening up to newer experiences. And that's where people process. Don't understand, like, that we could open up, you know. It's just a matter of finding a way to communicate and connect with those individuals.
Right.
But there's also racists, you know, you can't deny that.
Yeah. There's also what?
That's facts, bro.
There's also racists, you know, yeah. You can't deny that. Every now and then you're going to come across one.
Yeah, but one thing that, what is that word called? Self-preservation, bro. So like you said, if you saw, let's say, six African-American dudes walking towards you, I'm not talking about dudes in suits, right?
Yeah.
You're obviously going to be like, you're going to be on your toes. you're gonna be in your full senses, like, okay, I gotta move correctly around here. Just the same, like, if you saw six Mexicans walking towards you, and I'm not talking about Mexicans in suits, I'm talking about Mexicans straight up choloed out.
Yeah,
you're gonna self-preservation is gonna let you know, be careful with this. These dudes, you know, they might try something on you. You gotta have that, bro, because that's what keeps motherfuckers alive, bro. If I didn't have that back as a youngster, bro, when I was in the inner city, bro, I probably wouldn't be around right now, bro. But you read the area, bro. You read what kind of people are coming towards you.
Yeah.
And you move accordingly, right? And that's what keeps you alive sometimes, bro. Like they say, dale way.
Yeah, and stereotyping, bro, like, stereotyping has got a bad label on it, right? But we're human beings, bro. We've been stereotyping since we've been on this planet, you know? Like, if somebody was approaching a fucking snake, they're going to act different towards that snake. Or if they seen a bunny, they're going to act different towards the bunny. You know what I mean? Like, a bunny, you're going to be like, oh, shit, that's cute little bunny. You see a snake, you're going to be like, oh, shit. You know, I got to be on my toes and I'm going to have to kill this snake, or, you know, boom, boom, boom. Like, that's a part of self-preservation. But we not just a part of self-preservation, we stereotype it to begin with. Funny, cute, harmless. That's a snake. What kind of snake is it? What does it look like? Is it a venomous snake? And that's all just part of this stereotyping that goes into the human mind that's been able to allow us to be able to still be on this planet for this long, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we got to differentiate self-preservation and stereotyping with a non-negative way towards racism and negative stereotyping, you know. There's a difference.
We should tie that into a person's character, right? Like, like I said, if six dudes, whatever race they could be, are, they look, they're in suits, bro, they look like they just got off the job, You're gonna walk past them like nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they look like street guys, then move accordingly. Because at the same time, we don't want to be out here preaching to people like, yo, don't worry about those people. Like, man, you should always just feel safe around everybody. And then the next thing you know, motherfuckers getting robbed and jacked here, you know, on every corner. It's like, we don't promote people to be dumb either. You know, we don't promote people to be racist.
Yeah,
we don't promote people to be racist, but we also don't promote people to be dumb out here, bro. Like, you got to move accordingly out here in these streets to survive, man.
Yeah. You can't turn your back. You know, there was one time, bro, that I was in South Minneapolis, you know, it was after the club one night, and you know, you go grab them tacos, you go to the taco spot, bro. And this is the hood, you know, and I was dressed up nice, bro. So I think the homies from this block, they were Mexican, bro, but I wouldn't put an identification of them. They thought I was gonna be like an easy target, bro. So I'm already very, you know, raised in the hood. I'm very aware of what's going on. These dudes were trying to start circling me or kind of put, you know, putting me in the middle, bro. Obviously, a dude that's always aware, bro, you always pull out and you want to keep an eye on everybody.
Yeah.
What, could they fuck me up? Probably. Did they think, maybe does this dude have a knife? Does this dude have a gun? This dude's going to fight back? They didn't want it that way. You know what I mean? They wanted an easy come up, an easy knockout, get whatever they wanted and boom. So that's one of those examples that is like, if I would have been like, oh, everybody's nice, you know, only racist people judge people by their appearance.
Yeah.
Ding! you know what I mean? Yeah, and then I wouldn't have got them tacos that night, bro. I would have been food that night, bro.
Yeah, see, but then the last, you know, one of the things is we don't like to identify ourselves as being having that those thoughts. Like people think they're self-righteous, you know, like, oh, I'm a special case. I don't think that way. I've never thought that way ever. And it's like, don't lie to your fucking self. Yeah. Come on.
It's
don't
like
lie to
that. Yourself. It's like that. I don't see color bullshit. Wait, come on.
Exactly.
If you didn't see color, you'd be fucking all miscoordinated today, bro. Like, we see color.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to accept the fact that you see differences. And it's okay to accept the fact that you grew up differently, but your daily, it's like a recovering alcoholic or recovering addict. You know what I mean? Like, if you were racist at one point or you were born in a racist environment, and every day you got to continuously fight that racism in your head, is like fighting that drink that you want to have, fighting that Coke or meth that you want to have. It could go on with you for life, bro. But the main goal is that at least you're trying to change, and at least you're trying to make a difference in your personal life and in your family circle, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you become more self-aware,
self-aware
yourself and your environment, you know, and then, you take it as it comes. And like you said, it's something you have to be consistent with. It's, you know, there's definitely times where, like, you know, years ago amongst friends, you make little jokes, like you make little, you know, Asian sounds, or you fucking say something stupid about a Hispanic or somebody who's Salvadorian or anything, you know?
Yeah.
And it's those little things that at some point you catch yourself in them and you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that next time, or just be more sensitive about these kind of things, you know? But again,
I think everyone does racist jokes, bro.
Yeah.
But I think there's a level of racist joke. You know what I'm saying? There's like those, like, you know, those kind of like harmless racist jokes. And I know some people are gonna be like, what the fuck? What do you mean harmless, bro?
You know, it's like, the harmless is the ones that is like, so there's three guys in a cop car, right? And you know, like that one right there. All right, that could be funny, bro. But anytime they start using derogatory terms, bro, that ain't harmless no more.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's some that are, like I said, there's some that are funny, bro. But like, yeah, like, I think certain slurs in our community that I think we all know what slurs in our community were, we grew up calling certain races, bro. I think if we start cutting those off, bro, then we're already taking some big steps, bro. Because I remember back in the day, bro, as a youngster, bro, like that was the only way. By their derogatory name was the only way that people would refer to other people, bro. So I no longer use those words, obviously. But it's like, it's if we can get that out of our culture or our communities, then I think that's a big step, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely going to be it's going to be a process. You know, it's, I don't want to say it's going to be a generational thing, cause that seems like way too long, but you know, with, you know, I think one of you guys are a parent, right? One of you guys?
Both of us.
Oh, both? Damn. All right, well, congratulations, man. Just for a few years, you know? I'm a parent, too. I have a seven-year-old son. So okay, it's like, you know, for example, he was watching the first Star Wars movie, the Force Awakens. And, you know, what's his name? Finn. He's African. I don't even think he's American. He's from British or something, or like England or something. But he's black. And, you know, my son will be like, oh, like the colored guy. And it's like, you know, you have to figure out how to approach those conversations. Like, look, yeah, he is a different skin tone color, but he's still human. You know, you got to make sure that you're humanizing not just that thing, but everything else around you. Like, you got to bring it to, at least for me, I like to bring things to a point where I kind of try to ground it in terms of making it in easy terms so he can understand it. And at the same time, like you said, like hide those hidden gems that when he hears it, he'll be like, oh, okay. Like, you know, there is people that look different than me. And it's more than a completely okay to accept these people as part of the society that I'm in, you know? And then, you know, seeing how each of those kind of, you know, if everybody comes together in a sense, everybody comes up and rises, you know, instead of trying to demean or lower somebody else based on their status or poverty or their race.
Right. And your kid is going to learn way more just watching the way that you treat everybody or every individual than what you tell him. You know what I mean? Like, your kid's watching you throughout the whole time that you say hi to somebody, you greet somebody, you're ordering your food, you tip the waiter, you tip the valet guy. He's watching all that. So they can start to determine, are you treating some people, are you saying hi? Are you smiling to certain people differently? You know what I mean? So we are leading, you know what I mean? We are starting
That's good that you mentioned that, bro. That's good that you mentioned, because I think it starts with the parents, bro. As far as, you know, a lot of people hate that. It starts with the parents. What do you mean? You know, there's people that say stuff like that, bro. But it really does start with the parents, bro, because if you're a good human being, bro, it doesn't matter what race you are, what color you are.
Yeah.
And if you go out about your day, bro, you can go to the grocery store. And if you treat the cashier register with respect, you greet her or him, and you're respectful and you're just respectful like that every day. And your kids see that. Those kids are going to go to school and they're going to be respectful to their teachers. Those kids are going to get, you know, for not trying to be controversial, but those kids are going to get pulled over by the police or stopped by the police, and they're going to be respectful. Those kids are going to be at work and they're going to be respectful to their coworkers and all that, bro. It's like, I think if you teach your kids how to be nice to people, bro, like anybody, then I think that they're going to have an idea of like, man, my dad doesn't treat anybody any different. Like, my dad treats rude people rude, you know, like it don't matter what race they're like. If someone's fucked up to my dad does get an attitude with them, but that could be any race, you know? And I think that's one thing that, you know, it does need to be pushed, bro. Like, I think people do need to take responsibility for their kids, bro. If your kid's a badass kid, bro, and he's always beating up the neighborhood kids or he's getting in fights at school, well, are you not sitting your kid down and being like, yo, mijo, what's happening? Why you keep punching Billy in the nose, mijo?
Yeah.
Why are you angry, little Miguel?
Thank you, guys.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're basically at that time, man. I mean, thank you guys again for sitting down, having the conversation with me. It was great. I mean, for those people who want to look for your show, what's the best way to find you guys?
As far as like finding us, bro, like find us on our social media, Instagram, Pura Cultura Podcast platforms. We got Apple, we got Spotify, we got Castbox, we have Google
Player,
iHeart, you know, all them, you know what I mean? So, you know, hey, it's dope here sitting talking to you, bro. Me, you know, me and Smiley, we could talk, bro. So sometimes we lose track of time, you know?
Yeah, real though, bro. We sometimes I'm like, what are we going to talk about, bro? And then look at us, bro. We don't know how to shut up, bro.
Time just fucking flies, man. Yeah. Well, hopefully we get to do this again soon again when I'm not at work, you know, here trying to. People are looking through the window like, what the fuck is that guy? Yeah,
the guy that told you to take that sign down, he's waiting for you outside, bro.
I'm gonna wait for him too, and I'm gonna give him peace of my mind.
Just look for a MAGA hat, bro. Just look for a MAGA hat. That'll be him, bro.
But well, I mean, hopefully if you guys are ever in LA, you know, if we can connect somehow, do another episode, that'll be great. Otherwise, I'd love to do this again sometime soon, man.
For sure, hey, that's bro. What's up, bro. We're here for it, man. You know, and
thank you for having us.
Do that podcast. This is your boy Lazy.
And I'm Smiley.
And together we are the Mexi Twins. Hey, thanks for having us on your podcast, bro. We really appreciate it.
You guys have a good one, and then I'll keep you guys updated.
Thank you, bro.
What's up, man?
Have a good one.
You guys, peace. Everybody, have a good night.
These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely. Told them, you should let it be. Nah, nah, just set yourself free from the worry, from the cage of mental state. Fly away, little birdie, spread your wings. But who am I to speak? I'm just learning new techniques to practice what I preach. Getting caught up with feelings. I don't like the same routines. I don't like being mean. I don't like what I see. And that's you treating me like I ain't shit. These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely, yeah. These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely. Told them, you're ready when you're ready. I'll be ready really shortly. I'm just getting ready. Covering up with the makeup so they can't see your fuck ups. Let you take advantage of me. You cut my pretty wings, so I had to cut the strings. You get my body chilly. You'll definitely miss me. Just know my weed stay sticky. So my life is always litty, and I never take no pity. These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely, yeah. These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely. Hold on. 2020 vision is the mission. I'm overcoming an awful vision. My mind is powerful, so I took recognition. Repeating and repeating these affirmations. I don't wanna fall into temptations. Like, why you wanna touch that love? Why you wanna touch that drug? Why you wanna get so numb? These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely, yeah. These days, I feel like everybody fading. Feel like everybody angry. Going through something, driving them so crazy. I feel like they lonely. These days, I feel like everybody faking. Feel like everybody angry. Let me be. Yeah, let me be. Set me free. These days, I feel like everybody faking. Feel like everybody angry. Set me free. Let it be. Yeah, let it be. Let me be.